I know. I know. I get it. I do.
But you have earned, if you have ever earned, now you have earned this break. You have earned around 20 to 30 minutes to sit and think of nothing but cereal. Trust me, you've earned it. Relax and get ready to crunch. Be it with your mind or with your mouth. Welcome to The Empty Bowl, a meditative podcast about cereal. My name is Justin McElroy, and I am a cereal enthusiast.
My name is Dan Goubert, and I am cereal. I believe at this point we have become one. And with each passing moment, I feel the tremors of a billion flakes crunching in unison.
Oh, I am happy to be doing this, Daniel. I truly, truly am, and I'm very excited to just think about cereal. But that will have to wait, because we're going to talk about a cereal. We got some cereal offshoots, some cereal spinoffs, some cereal co-branding, Cinnamon Toast Crunch Cinnamilk. Boy, they have really milked this flavor for every possible permutation at this point.
It's funny, too, because it's literally just cinnamon and sugar, yet the name brand appeal of Cinnamon Toast Crunch allows General Mills to essentially cross-brand anywhere. And Cinnamilk is the latest sensation in the Toast Crunch dynasty. And it's pretty much exactly what it sounds like. It's a cross-brand between General Mills and Nestle, and they're releasing this Cinnamilk that is meant to taste like the cereal milk left behind by a bowl of Cinnamon Toast Crunch. It's coming in January, and I'm trying to think of the applications of something like this, and obviously you could pour it on a bowl of Cinnamon Toast Crunch and just sort of, compound the layers of super sweet reality that you're facing. But I also imagine this would be good for milkshakes.
Oh, yeah.
It would be good for... I guess if you really, really love your cat, you could probably offer them a bowl of it. A nice gilded saucer of Cinnamilk.
And maybe you just need it. Maybe you just need to sit in silence and drink an entire bottle of Cinnamon Toast Crunch milk.
I mean, sling it back, have a couple hard gulps. We're really at the point where they're trying to take the whole work out of the cereal experience to get right to the end of not forgetting to drink the milk.
You know, another possible application might be kind of as a mixer for if you're someone who enjoys an alcoholic beverage. This might be a nice complement to like a nice rum or a vodka or rum chata or something.
I feel like because the Cinnamon Toast Crunch shot, in my experience, is a very popular novelty sort of alcoholic beverage, that this will really revolutionize the game in that sense. Mm-hmm. And so I look forward to feeling sick or delirious when drinking Cinnamilk when it comes out in January.
Looking forward to it. This one kind of came out of nowhere. Sesame Street 123 Berry Cereal. And it looks berry... Well, very boring, but it's fun. You know, it's for kids.
Yeah, it's funny because this cereal leak comes from Cereal Life on Instagram. If you want an up to date record of cereal news on Instagram, I recommend you follow them at Cereal Life, because Cereal Life in particular seems to have the most intimate insider connection with General Mills of anyone in the sort of serial journalism game. So a lot of the things that we're talking about today, as we have in previous weeks, are General Mills news pieces that I've gotten from Serial Life. It's interesting because at first I was wondering why there was so much General Mills news coming, but because January is sort of the hot period for new serial news, when all major cereal companies are debuting new products, I guess Cereal Life here has gotten a head start on all the General Mills offerings. So when 2021 actually rolls around, I'm sure we'll be hearing a lot of official news about things like Sesame Street 123 Berry Cereal. That said, because these are such early leaks, all of the box art that you would see something like this is generally considered a sales sample and not final. So my initial thought when seeing Sesame Street 123 Berry Cereal, which features Elmo and Abby, the Muppets, on the box, was why would they not use the count for something like this. Exactly. It's kind of a no-brainer. I don't know if General Mills kind of has a vampiric exclusivity deal with Count Chocula or something, but I'm really hoping that they sort of make that change in the 11th hour. But talking about the cereal itself, it is a little bit different than the previous Sesame Street cereal that we've seen, which the more I read about it, the more I realized it's a very bizarro product on its own, because it was called, this is 2013's Sesame Street C is for Cereal. Sounds pretty straightforward until you consider that it had a subtitle of A is for Apple. So this was Sesame Street, C is for Cereal, A is for Apple, Cereal. But the pieces were only shaped like X's and O's. So I'm really hoping that Sesame Street 123 Berry Cereal puts an end to the absurdity that was these previous Sesame Street cereal incursions and gives us something that's a lot more straightforward and satisfying, even though the recent history of licensed berry cereals has not been too positive. I don't really know what to expect from this one, but I'm watching it with apprehension. I know you have kids. Do you think they'll be interested in something like this?
Maybe as a novelty. You know, it's funny. They like the Sesame Street characters, but the cereal itself, I'm not sure will necessarily be one that they'd want to return to. It looked kind of like my jam, though. That whole grain is very appealing, you know, in a vast sea of corn.
It's true, it's true. And, but when you hear berry, you don't really know what that means.
Yeah, that berry is a very flexible flavor. Speaking of berries, just pivot right on to multigrain strawberry Cheerios.
Mm-hmm. So this is, again, another General Mills story that Cereal Life broke. And it's pretty much exactly what it sounds like, multigrain Cheerios with actual dried strawberry pieces strewn throughout. And this is kind of hailed as a revival of 2003's Berry Burst strawberry Cheerios. Many people are familiar with the recent strawberry Cheerios that came out, but those were merely flavored with strawberry puree rather than actually including the dried fruit pieces. So this is kind of a return to form from the Berry Burst line, which, tangentially speaking, also included Cherry Vanilla Cheerios, a very mythic cereal that we discussed in the very, very first episode of this podcast. So if you want a refresher on that, you should check back to our premiere. But this is sort of a cereal that I don't have a lot to say about just because you know what you're getting in for here. Yeah. So if you like strawberries, if you like Cheerios, if you like, you know, multitudinous grains in your breakfast bowl, you're probably going to enjoy this one. There's not really a confirmed release date yet because this was also a sales sample so far. But like I said, you can probably expect it in the new year at the latest.
You know, Dan, just because travel isn't really on the docket right now doesn't mean we can't hop in the old imaginary cereal empty bowl biplane and take a globe-trotting trip to see what other countries are doing in the world of cereal. Obviously, can't really ever hold a candle to what we got cooking over here in America. It's a battle for second in this one field. I would say that we reign supreme. But I do love seeing what other countries are up to.
Yeah, so America is definitely the epicenter of cereal absurdity. So when we hear about something outside of America that's unique, it's definitely noteworthy. So in addition to the multigrain strawberry Cheerios, frosted vanilla Cheerios have also been spotted in Canada already. I really want this to be sort of a Canada exclusive that our friends north of the border can celebrate, but it's really unclear at this moment whether this is an actual new cereal or whether they took the very, very American idea of frosted Cheerios, which you find in the blue box, and maybe they gave it the additional qualifier of vanilla to make it sound, you know, a little bit more well-rounded rather than just sugar-flavored.
We have had frosted Cheerios, and we've had vanilla in the form of yogurt burst Cheerios, if memory serves, but I guess this specific branding is not one we've ever seen on a Cheerio stateside.
Yeah, it's hard to tell. It's hard to make a conclusion just yet because we've seen a lot in this previous year that vanilla to cereal companies oftentimes just means more sugar. So whether this is sort of a nomenclature sort of mistranslation or whether this is something that is worth getting jealous about in the United States remains unclear. But yeah. Any Canadian listeners, feel free to let us know the truth behind Frosted Vanilla Cheerios.
This last one is truly wild.
Yeah, so beyond America, beyond Canada, we have UK exclusive Sainsbury's mince pie wheats. If you're like me and aren't exactly sure what a mince pie is before coming to this news story, it is a sweet delicacy, contrary to the popular associations of mincemeat actually being meat. These are little pies that are filled with spiced raisin, nutmeg, and cinnamon. And this store brand mince pie wheat cereal claims to recreate the same formula, using shredded wheat as sort of the shell or crust containing a filling made with spiced raisin, nutmeg, and cinnamon. I'm not sure if I'll ever get the chance to try this one, but early reviews that I saw on the Huffington Post UK featured a lot of, obviously, UK natives trying the stuff, and they said it was pretty authentic to the desserts they remember. So I feel like the American equivalent to this would be like a fruit cake cereal, which probably wouldn't be as good. So if Frosted Vanilla Cheerios aren't an exclusivity win for Canada, I'm willing to give this one to the UK as something that is much deserved and unique. And I'm very, very jealous.
Meat, I guess, used to be a big part of mince meat, but taste changed. And also there were wartime rations on meat that prompted people to stop including it.
Wow, did you just know that already?
Fun fact. I used to be very into British dessert making for like the holidays. So we've made our own mince before, which is a great thing to have a jar of around the holidays, because you can throw that stuff in everything. It's delicious.
Yeah, I mean, if you've got a turkey pastry, you can pump your own frosted mini wheats full of this stuff.
Sure, that seems like a great way to spend an afternoon.
It seems logical.
Yeah. Oh, Dan, I am so excited. This is my top number one most anticipated cereal right now. And I'm so thrilled that you got a box and you're going to give us the skinny, speaking figuratively, on Little Debbie Oatmeal Cream Pie Cereal.
Yeah, so I didn't even expect to get this in time for this latest review, because Oatmeal Cream Pie Cereal is supposed to debut nationwide in December, but it arrived very surreptitiously, and I'm excited to say that it's a very, very, very good cereal. It is not 100% accurate to the oatmeal cream pie snack cake that so many love so dearly. Part of it is, speaking of raisins earlier, there's no raisin ingredient here, as I recently learned from our latest episode when you told me that oatmeal cream pies, the actual snack cake, contains raisins. Now, I mean, I ate like a dozen of the actual snack cake to try and test that theory, and I sort of started to understand how raisins contribute to that particular nuanced flavor. That would, again, be very difficult to recreate in a cereal. So there are a few elements of the oatmeal cream pie that aren't perfectly replicated in this cereal. Namely, obviously, the raisin bits, but the cream element of it as well is supposed to manifest in sort of a creamy coating. But it's hard to really taste that, because the prevailing notes are of primarily cinnamon and molasses. And I don't really associate cinnamon with oatmeal cream pies, but I think it works well here to sort of ease you into the cereal that, despite being based on an oatmeal cream pie, is somehow made with a mix of corn and oat flour. But I'm happy to report that that doesn't really influence it here, because these are very, very densely powdered pieces. And again, that cinnamon, molasses, oatmeal trifecta really comes through, and adding milk does a good job of supplementing the creaminess that is sort of lacking by definition. So if you liked like the Cinnamon Toast Crunch churros or the Malto Meal churros, this is kind of a smart evolution of that.
That sounds delicious to me. I'm excited to try that once it makes its way over here. You also tried, speaking of, I wonder if there has been an episode where we have not talked about Cinnamon Toast Crunch in some permutation, but you got your hands on a big old container of Cinnamon Toast Crunch Cinnadust.
Yeah, so we mentioned this a while back, and it's literally just this giant, giant Sam's Club cylinder of Cinnadust. It's literally like the size of like a small pepper mill, or perhaps a track and field baton, just in the way that you almost need two hands to hold it. But this is something that when you receive it, you think it's pretty straightforward, that it's going to taste just like cinnamon and sugar. Sure, maybe they saved you a little bit of the inconvenience of getting those two ingredients yourself, but the deeper you read into it, it also sort of promises a vanilla and graham flavor that, unfortunately, in reality, is not really present. You obviously get a lot of the cinnamon and sugar, but there's also a strange saltiness to it that kind of throws me off of it a little bit, especially because a lot of its recommended applications are just, you know, squirt the stuff on anything sweet you can possibly find just to amp it up even higher. I think the actual packaging recommends, let's see, I got it here right in front of me, great for toast, cookies, ice cream, and more. I can definitely see ice cream maybe working. I don't know. I've had some bad experiences in the past trying to make homemade ice cream that was too salty, and now it just kind of gives me flashbacks. But, it also recommends yogurt, fruit, popcorn, pancakes, oatmeal, or coffee. I did try coffee, and that was not a good idea, personally. Just because I've tried cinnamon and coffee before, and it doesn't really dissolve very well.
Yeah, it can make a little bit of a film on the top, I've found.
Yeah.
I would say that the toast thing would be someone who, speaking as someone whose children bully him into making cinnamon toast fairly regularly, I know it's silly, but saving time, and if you're going to do cinnamon toast right, you got to pre-mix the cinnamon and the sugar, or else you're never going to have the right consistency. But that always leads to, one, you're dirtying a bowl, two, the time, three, you're almost always going to have waste, because you don't get the exact right amount. Now you can store it in a baggie, of course, if you want, but maybe it's not enough. I do think it might be a time saver, but perhaps not one that merits inclusion in the cupboard.
It may certainly save you time, but unless you're planning to make cinnamon toast for like 10 to 20 years straight every single day, this thing's probably going to be a constant presence in your spice cabinet just because of the niche value of it. I will say, though, that I had good success using it on some beignets that I had, and it made a really good compliment there, especially because it reminds me of my cat, who's also named Beignet, or Benny for short, and the color comparison is very apt there.
This last one is a bit of a unique review for us because it's not a new product, but it is new to you and I, both of whom received boxes of this in the mail.
So I think it was 10 episodes ago now that we had a cereal myth segment, much like the cherry vanilla Cheerios mentioned earlier, where I lamented the fact that I've been looking for golden maple Quaker oatmeal squares for years and years and years, and they're just not available in my area. And they're not available in a lot of areas for that matter, but they are, in fact, still made. And thanks to one of our listeners, Brooke, they were very, very generous enough to send us boxes of the stuff because apparently golden maple oatmeal squares are everywhere in Wisconsin. So let me get your opinion on it first.
Okay. I think that, now I'm a big, I don't know if I've talked about my passion for this cereal enough on this program, but I love Quaker oat squares.
Which flavor?
See, I haven't been, particular before now, but I have to say the golden maple, I thought was a really nice compliment to, I mean, it's one of the heartiest chews in the biz. I mean, when you are it is the anti-corn. When you are eating Quaker oat squares, it is a project and you are committed to it. And like a lot of projects that I've undertaken, about two-thirds of the way in, I'll start to think, this wasn't a very good idea. I shouldn't have undertaken this project. I don't want to finish it. But, you know, you push on through and you're met with a really great cereal experience.
Yeah, I would have to agree. So golden maple is, again, the most elusive of the oatmeal square flavors, which in sum is a quartet of golden maple, brown sugar, which is probably the best otherwise, There's also cinnamon and honey nut oatmeal squares, which are just kind of forgettable. But yeah, golden maple has to be my new favorite just because the maple flavor isn't super, super sort of immersive. Like you said, oatmeal squares is very, very crunchy. Like there's almost nothing else like it. It's very, very dense. When you look at the actual makeup of the cereal, it's like a little bundle of sort of like oat noodles all woven together into one hearty brick. So once you get past the first crunch or two, you're going to lose a bit of that maple flavor. But I will say that it's a very, very authentic maple flavor. It's not like the waffle crisps of the world where it's this sweet sort of synthetic maple. It's very, very accurate to the real thing. Mm-hmm. And if you're someone who's very, very against a lot of chewing and a lot of dense cerealness, I'd say adding milk and even a little bit of a drizzle of maple syrup does this cereal even better and just makes it a really, really good... it feels wholesome. I don't know how wholesome it really is, but it feels like a good summative maple experience. Unlike, I couldn't help but compare it to the Elf cereal that I reviewed last time, which was just overwhelmingly syrupy to the point where it melts molars, versus this one, Golden Maple Oatmeal Squares, which will probably give your molars a good burly workout.
I tried Elf, by the way, this week. I found Elf and Sugar Cookie Toast Crunch at my local Target. Enjoyed them both. I think Elf's a good one for kids. My kids love marshmallows so much, it's hard for them to get them to eat the actual cereal sometimes. My two-year-old frequently just pulls out the, as she calls them, Farfellows, and just eats those. But this is sweet enough that I can coax her into eating a proper spoonful of all of them together. So thumbs up from the McElroy household. We asked you, I forgot, we asked you in recognition of Elf, really the most important question of all time, we asked you to come up with a cereal based on a 15 to 30 year old
movie. Very specific in those chronological deadlines there.
As always, you rose to the challenge, so let's listen to those now.
Hey, Dan. Hey, Justin. My idea for a movie serial would be based off of the Twin Peaks movie, Fire Walk With Me. The box itself would come wrapped in plastic. The cereal would taste like coffee and cherry pie with subtle notes of existential dread. When you poured milk onto the cereal, it would reveal a sort of black and white zigzagging pattern. And of course, it would come with a prize inside, a small hit clip style cassette. And it would have some sort of inscrutable message taking you further into the depths of your own psyche. Thank you.
Hi there, Dan and Justin. This is Gavin from Indianapolis, and I think an excellent serial adaptation of a film would be For the Big Lebowski, which would pave a bold new path for adult cereal consumers. I imagine a white Russian cereal with chocolate and coffee pieces as the base, evoking the flavor of Kahlua. Perhaps some plain Marbits for added creaminess, and some toasted oats with either a bourbon or rum infusion to provide the boozy flavor. Thank you so much for making this podcast as a balm for my weary soul.
Hello, this is Kellen from Chicago. My pronouns are they, them. My cinematic serial idea from 15 to 30 years ago would honor the 1998 classic The Parent Trap, starring Lindsay Lohan and Dennis Quaid. The serial would reflect the twins' favorite decadent snack of dipping whole Oreos into a jar of peanut butter. I'm imagining Oreo O's mixed into Reese's peanut butter puffs and chunks of actual Oreo to increase the chocolatey flavor. Thank you for being my favorite podcast. Stay hydrated and be well.
Wonderful, wonderful choices. Do you have a question on your mind right now, Dan, that you'd like addressed? Anything spring to mind?
I'm more curious if you had an answer to that question personally, because I thought about this one for a while.
What did you come up with?
My mind immediately latched on to one of my favorite movies, which is Napoleon Dynamite. But the more I thought about it, the more I realized that there's a lot of foods associated with that movie that are very, very savory rather than sweet.
Yeah, I know quesadilla or quesadilla.
Well, I really boiled it down to sort of a sweet potato tater tot based cereal that also includes bursts of creamy orange based on the oranges that Napoleon throws at Uncle Rico's van. Of course, best served with 2% milk.
Let's see. If I had to pick one, I'll go a little bit unconventional, and I'm going to hit you with Halloween Town. Hmm. No, wait. I've got a better one. Pie.
Pie.
The Darren Aronofsky flick Pie, and it tastes like pie. Different varieties of pie. I think would be a great cereal. Tastes like pie.
We love
it. Tastes like pie.
Like oatmeal cream
pies. And all
the
shapes are like the pie. Yeah, like the shapes of the cereal are like the little pie symbol.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got different flavors of pie in there. It'd be glorious. I'll tell you, here's a question. And this is really going to stretch our listeners' creativity. I want to know what your application for Cinnamon Toast Crunch dust would be. And it has to be practical yet creative. If you had a big jug of this this stuff to unload, how would you use it up? That is my question to our listeners. You can go to bowl.rest and click to leave us a message there. If you plug in a microphone, that's great. But, you know, use your phone, whatever. Just try to do it in a quiet place and have a quiet soul as you record it.
You know, I will say, because I have so much of the stuff, that the top three answers that we give, I will try my best to attempt them and give you my response on how they go before our next episode.
So the Captain's Christmas Crunch is headed back to store shelves. May already be there, actually. I feel like I might have seen a box of it. Can I tell you a different story before we get into this
please,
third segment
please.
That is related? I bought a box of SpongeBob SquarePants cereal in the mail that I like bought online, and it became my 2-year-old's favorite cereal.
Nice.
And it is nowhere around me. So I started scouring local Walmarts, and last week I ended up finding a supply at a Walmart in Wayne County, which is about 30-minute drive from me. People in West Virginia would just call it Out Wayne. You're going Out Wayne if you're going to Wayne County. And that's what the Wayne Countyans refer to it as, I think, as well. But I found a weird, bizarro Walmart way out there in Wayne County, way out Wayne, which is only bizarro because it's not the one that I typically go to. Not that I frequent them lately, but they had huge boxes, crates of the stuff, of the SpongeBob cereal. And I was really weighed down by trying to decide how much of this cereal that I needed to buy to secure myself as a great dad, while understanding that it was likely my only chance to buy this cereal before it disappears completely.
And how much did you buy?
4 boxes is what I went with,
okay,
Dan.
Okay.
That seemed the best I could do without getting kicked out of the store, personally. Captain Crunch, I'm just remembering that story because I believe I saw it there, the Christmas Crunch. But I hear it's got new box art. Is that accurate?
Yeah. So this is significant to the sort of Captain Crunch fandom, just because for a long, long time the Captain would change the sort of gimmick behind Christmas Crunch every year, and have some sort of, you know, interesting twist on this cereal that is essentially just Captain Crunch with crunch berries, but the crunch berries are sort of holiday shaped. They are red and green. That's pretty much all there is to it. But since 2016 was the last time that they changed the box art, so you've probably seen in the past 4 years this version of Cap'n Crunch dressed essentially as like Clark Griswold, with these string yeah. lights all wrapped around him. And that is actually the same mainline Christmas Crunch box art that's being used in most mass retailers. But when it comes to the double box pack, which includes, again, two boxes of Christmas Crunch in one larger box, they actually changed that one to something new and rather quite beautiful as far as I'm concerned.
It's nice. It's very nice to look at.
Yeah, it's got this ugly sweater themed, and the Captain is not dressed up. Usually in previous years, he'll be in some sort of Christmas attire, but at least in this case, the font on the Captain Crunch logo is great.
Now, I do... Okay, Dan, if you enhance the image, I think the Captain is in a sweater version of his normal apparel.
Hold on,
If you enhance...
Enhance. I expect a lot of details in this box just because... Oh my god, I didn't even see that. There is definite plushness to it. Yeah. Wow. Okay. Serves me right. He's definitely
kinda
like
on his epaulets, I guess you call them, are like kind of fuzzy. And around the, there's like a cinched sleeve, and the stripes on it are a little fuzzy too. I think it is a sweater.
All right, I stand corrected. This is probably the most intricate Christmas Crunch box art we may have ever seen. But outside of the sort of wardrobe, it also features the Captain pretty eagerly grabbing this present that he has for you, the cereal consumer. And if the rest of the box is any indication, this present of his is filled with cereal and milk. So this beautiful soggy gift that he has for us. Regardless of the sort of logical inconsistencies of the box art, I just think it's really, really satisfying to get a new Christmas Crunch box art for once. And I was hoping we could use this opportunity to review three of my favorite Christmas Crunch boxes from years past. So these are all based on sort of longtime friend of Serialistly and I guess my inspiration for blogging, Dinosaur Dracula, who has a very, very rich history of covering the Captain. And he's written three different articles on these different boxes that I'm about to discuss. So if you want to learn more, I recommend you look for them. But first off, in chronological order, is 1991's Christmas Crunch, which, you know, the actual box art was pretty standard, but this Christmas Crunch came with a special gift attached. And this is no standard cereal box prize where it's at the bottom of the box. Rather, this was an additional cardboard cylinder attached to your cereal box at the top that contained, well, I mean, the immediate result, the ultimate result was a little bit disappointing in that it contained a coupon for 50% off your next Captain Crunch purchase. It contained a container of Rainblow bubblegum, and it also contained a Captain Crunch Christmas Advent calendar countdown with stickers. So the actual sort of tangible reward of it wasn't too crazy, but the idea of having a second box attached to your cereal box is just about the most genius thing that I've encountered in recent memory, just because we have this new Christmas Crunch, which is essentially two boxes inside of a larger box. But imagine if attached to that box, there was an additional box.
What's your next favorite?
So if we move on to 1995, this is, I think, the best gimmick of all of them. It's also a very beautiful box. It's very, very vibrantly blue in contrast to your traditional Christmas colors. But 1995's Christmas Crunch included twinkling sprinkle cream. So this was literally a little packet of sugary goo that you could take and, you know, squirt all the top and frost your cereal bowl ostensibly in the morning on Christmas morning.
Toaster strudels, that kind of idea, essentially. Like a little packet of frosting.
Cereal strudel, this was. I don't think there's any legal precedent that could let that get by in today's economy, but I think that as a 1995 cereal with frosting, this is just about the most genius thing possible. Coming close to that, though, would be 1998's Christmas Crunch, which, first of all, from an aesthetic standpoint, included a Cap'n Crunch that was not only dressed like Santa, but he very, very much looked like his most mall Santa self with sort of a strapped-on sort of Santa costume. But this one also came with a packet of Jingle Bell Rocks, which were literal smaller crunchberry boulders that you could pour onto your Christmas crunch and it would turn the milk this sort of crimson Pepto-Bismol color. Again, you don't really see any sort of thing like this in a modern cereal context where there's an additional food unit inside your cereal box that can be applied to the cereal to really enhance it or give it this sort of stat boost, which is why it just is very, very nostalgic to look back on this series of Christmas Crunch incursions. And while we're very excited about new box art for Christmas Crunch, I'm hoping that someday in the future they'll add, like, I don't know, candied fruit or, like,
something.
Yeah.
Something. Little ornament shapes. I don't know.
Yeah, Pop Rocks.
I don't know.
Candy. Rocks, yeah. Fruitcake. Oatmeal cream pies. Whatever.
Bring back the Jingle Bell Rocks.
Yeah, it's that easy.
You guys still got the pouches sitting around, I'm sure. Give them some frosting again. Dan, any other observations about Christmas Crunch? I just want to keep thinking about Christmas Crunch.
I know. It's just... The world of Christmas Crunch is a very, very sort of holy pocket dimension where we can all escape to feel good. But
what about Oops All Christmas Crunch? How would that be? Can we get that going?
Yeah, I mean, the Christmas Crunch crunchberry shapes are very, very oblong and almost jagged at certain points. So I feel like that'd be the greatest sort of palate integrity challenge out of any Christmas Crunch variety. But
Folks, thank you so much for listening to our podcast. We hope you've enjoyed yourself and found a little bit of respite from what can be a rocky world. We so appreciate you being here with us. If you'd like to get in touch, again, mail@bowl.rest is our email address. Bowl.rest is where you go to pledge some money to the show if you want. You can kick us a buck or 10 bucks or $5 every month, however you feel comfortable. If you like what we do, if it's brings you some peace, we'd love it if you support that. Half of that money goes to a local homeless shelter here in my town, Huntington, West Virginia, and the other half goes to keepseriously.net going. So we very much appreciate any support you can do.
Mm-hmm.
But anything else, Dan? What else do you have to add here in our closing moments?
Yeah, we'd love to thank Emily Loper as well for editing our show. Chris Zabriskie for this opening theme of The Sun is Scheduled to Come Out Tomorrow, as well as Bria Davis for our amazing, amazing podcast art, which I continue to love to this day.
Thank you so much for listening, and be sure to join us again next time for the Empty Bowl. But until then...
I want to get this one right. I think more than ever we need to get this one right. No jokes, no pranks.
No jokes.
We're just going to get it right. We're going to
say it together at the same time.
Don't forget.
Forget.
Let's start over.
Yeah, we'll do it. Just a real. I'll give it a 3, 2, 1, and then we'll just go on.
Okay.
3, 2, 1.
Don't forget.
To drink.
Drink
the milk. See, that felt good.
Yeah, we'll fix that one in post.
We'll get it in post.